You may recall this is the third and final part of our three-week preaching series entitled Relentless. And so this evening, I want us to look at four things. God is impressive, something difficult to grasp, two wrong beliefs that we have, and then a response. In the Book of Wisdom, our first reading today, we hear the beginning of this part of the passage. It begins by emphasizing God's splendor. The reading is meant to invoke in us a sense of wonder and awe about God. It mentions that compared to God, the universe is a mere grain in a balance or a drop of morning dew on the grass. The universe is. So just pause there. Do you know how big the universe is? Like, if you want to freak yourself out, go home tonight, go on YouTube, and just type in a scale of the universe. And, like, you'll get freaked out how big the universe is. Scientists say that the universe is 93 billion light years across. And that's just the observable universe. As I'm speaking right now, the universe is expanding. Scientists guess that there's somewhere around 200 to 300 billion galaxies in the universe. We have a time saying, hey, we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and we kind of think that we're the center of the universe. Our galaxy is one of 200 to 300 billion galaxies, all of which have somewhere around 100 billion stars. And we're talking about stars in just our galaxy alone that are, the stars are bigger than we can comprehend or imagine. I mentioned before the star that's out there called the Big Dog Star, of which you can fit 7 quadrillion planet Earths inside this one star that's in our galaxy. To count to a quadrillion, it would take you 31 million years to count to a quadrillion. You can fit 7 quadrillion planet Earths inside this star. God is impressive. As difficult it is for us to grasp how impressive God actually is, I've come to learn now, just 2 years as a priest, that most people have a more difficult time grasping something else about God. And that is how relentless he is. More specifically, how relentlessly he pursues you and me. We hear this encounter today in the gospel between Jesus and Zacchaeus, and we're led to think that the encounter happens because Zacchaeus is seeking out Jesus. We're led to think that because the gospel says Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, so he runs up ahead of the crowd, climbs up the sycamore tree, so in fact he can't see Jesus. But our theology of grace is one that says that God always acts first. God is always the initiator. So when the gospel starts out today, in the beginning, it says Jesus came to Jericho, intended to pass through the town. It sounds as if Jesus just had this chance encounter with this man named Zacchaeus. But that's not how it works with God, the one who made the universe. He knew Zacchaeus. He knew everything about him. He knew the current lifestyle of sin that he was in, that he just couldn't get out of. He knew his faults that he had. He knew all the insecurities that Zacchaeus had, all his wounds. So God pursued him. Because God's love compels a pursuit. He's constantly desiring to bring us into communion with him. constantly desiring to bring us out of isolation and in communion with the Trinitarian love. And for most of us, we find it incredibly difficult to realize and understand that God is relentlessly pursuing me. And there's many different reasons of why that is, but I just want to mention two tonight. The first is that we tend to believe that God changes his mind about us. He starts out with the pursuit of us, but he changes his mind. There's a young woman who came to see me, and she was struggling with a particular sin. And for years, the cycle of sin persisted over and over, and it led her to being in this perpetual state of just beating herself up. And she became, over the years, so accustomed to beating herself up that led her into this mindset that she wasn't loved. I remember at one point she said, "Father Mark, I know that God has grown tired of me." In other words, she's saying that she knows that God has changed his mind about her. He's given up his pursuit of her. And it's easy for us to think this way. But hear this. God never changes his mind about you. Ever. God never says, "I'm just so sick of him. Why does he keep doing that? If he would just fix himself, finally, after all this time, if he would just fix himself, we could be in a relationship." See, he only pursues more. He only draws in nearer. Because that's what heals. His pursuit, his communion, is what transforms, and it's his love is that which brings about change in us. God never changes his mind about you or me. He's relentless. The second thing we wrongly believe about God's pursuit is that we tend to think that God forgets about us. We tend to think that he just takes time off of pursuing me. We go through seasons in our lives, maybe we're in one right now, where there's a particular suffering in our life or an illness or trials where God just seems that he's miles and miles and miles away. He doesn't care. If he really cared, this wouldn't be happening to me right now. If he really cared, I wouldn't feel this way. And because I do feel this way, clearly God has higher priorities than me. And for someone to come along to say, "You know what, God relentlessly pursues you," the knee-jerk reaction is to say, "Prove it. Show me that God pursues me. Show me that there's a God that's constantly and relentlessly pursuing me." And it's so easy for us to flip into this, set into this mindset. Just this week for me, this past week, was a week where I was feeling particularly down, somewhat depressed. I was dealing with a number of combination of things that were going on, some of these things touching an insecurity that I have about myself. And on top of all of that, it was middle of the week. It was the first time that I realized that it was cold. And it was going to remain cold for a long time. It was snowing. There was no sun. And I realized that I'm not going to see the sun in a few months. But I felt that God was miles and miles away. I felt alone, and I didn't feel loved. And this kind of came to the apex on Thursday. And on Thursday, Father Don and I walked back to the rectory for lunch, and as I'm preparing something there in the kitchen, he asked me how I was going. And I told him, I told him I'm in a bad mood. I told him that I felt down. I was feeling depressed. And he asked me if I've related that to Jesus yet. And I said, no, I need to. And I need to stop in the chapel before I head back to the office. And so that's what I did. I stopped in the chapel after eating lunch, and I was kneeling right here before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and I had my hands out kind of in front of me, draped over one of the back edges of the chair, and as I'm there with praying with my eyes closed, relating my heart to the Lord, all of a sudden I felt someone gently take my right hand. So of course I opened my eyes, and upon opening my eyes, this woman kisses my hand. And then she leaves outside this door here. And as soon as the door shuts behind her, I'm alone here kneeling. There's other people here in the chapel. And when praying there with my eyes closed, I just have this image of this woman's face as she's kissing my hand. And I hear the Lord tell me, Mark, you have no idea how much I love you. How near I am to you right now. How I'm pursuing you right now. And they're just overcome with emotion and just feeling God's intense love for me right there. I was healed. Like, I was just brought from that spot, a feeling that God was overwhelmed. I was convicted of the fact that God does love me. And that's the reality all the time. Like, God is revealing himself to us just like that all the time. Maybe not being kissed on the hand by random women, right? Like, and no, that doesn't happen to me, right, all the time. Like that, let's get that clear, okay? Like, certain parts of the world, it's custom and culture to kiss the hand of the priest. Let's make that clear, okay? But oftentimes, we aren't quiet enough, or we're just not aware enough. God does not take time off of pursuing us. He doesn't forget about you or me. He's relentless. And so God's relentless pursuit requires a response. It required a response in Zacchaeus, and it requires a response tonight for you and me. And that response is simply this. Surrender to God's pursuit. For some of us here tonight, that's going to mean, like Zacchaeus, of completely reorientating our life. It's going to involve a repentance that has us inviting Jesus into my life and resolving that from now on, my life too is going to change. In a radical way, even possibly the way Zacchaeus did. For others of us, it's just coming down from the tree and hearing the call of the one who pursues and saying, I want to come into your house. So this week, go on YouTube. Tonight, go on YouTube. Google or type in there the scale of the universe, or look up at the sky if one of these nights don't have clouds. See the stars and consider how ridiculously massive the universe is. And allow yourself there to say, God, you are impressive. And then pause and realize that the one who made the universe right now is pursuing you. And despite what sometimes we may think, that he changes his mind in pursuing me, or that he just takes time off, know that God is relentless.